Coming up on today's episode of the Cemetery Podcast, we're going to explain just exactly where we've been for the last year. We're going to give you updates on what's been going on since I've been the new sexton at the cemetery in Reading, Ohio. We're going to dive into divining. We're also going to discuss some of the cemetery tips that we've been discussing on our blog. We're going to tell you about some of the trips that we've been on over the past year. And we're going to tell you one of the craziest coincidental cemetery stories you have ever heard. All that and so much more on this episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the NecroTourist website at necrotourist.com. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/necrotourist.
All right, welcome to the Cemetery Podcast. I am your host, Ken Negley from the NecroTourist. And yes, if you're looking at the date of this show and looking at the date of the last show, you are correct. They are just about 13 months apart. Yes, that's right. I said they're just about 13 months apart. The last show we did was in 2022 at the beginning of the year. And this is the first show that we are doing at the beginning of 2023. Now, I would like to let you know a couple of reasons why that happened, how that happened, and what's been going on over the last, basically, year. On the last show that we put out, you most likely were aware that I had accepted the sexton position at the St. Peter and Paul Cemetery in Reading, Ohio. That is a 13-acre cemetery in a, you know, community that's just north of Cincinnati, you know, one of the original suburbs, so to speak. Well, a lot of things happened when that happened. Number one, it was a lot of work. I didn't realize how much heavy work it was going to be. And it, not that it's overwhelming work. But let me say this, you know, all the years that I've been doing the NecroTourist dating back to 2015, you know, I walk through dozens of cemeteries sometimes a day. However, that meant my cardio was good. I didn't realize that at my age how weak I had actually become. And I don't mean, you know, I'm a total wimp or nothing. I just mean when you don't work out a lot, your muscles don't have as much strength as they used to. So, you know, I'm not old, but I'm older. And, you know, really, it, for lack of better words, it was kicking my butt this, you know, last year. Figuring out the cut schedules and how much time I needed to maintain and how I was able to recover from injuries that were happening all year. Because it was plenty of dinging injuries that were going on. So, really, that is what consumed most of my time. You know, I really wasn't able to pursue a lot of the things that we do normally with the NecroTourist. I mean, I'm not kidding you all. I barely was able to maintain social media. I was just working like crazy in the cemetery. And then at the end of the day, there was no time for social media because I was whooped. I was going to bed. So, I've learned a little more how to manage my schedule as things went on, as I progressively got better at my job and was able to take control of the time, I was able to, you know, do things as they went around. Now, of course, as the winter came around, you know, you don't do as much in a cemetery, and I don't actually plow the roads on the grounds. That's actually done for us. And secondarily, we didn't really have that big of a, you know, much of a winter at all this year in Cincinnati. As a matter of fact, from my recollections, it only snowed like 3 times. Over the Christmas holiday, it snowed pretty heavy here, you know, like it did for a lot of people around the country. It was bad weather over the holidays. But, you know, other than that, it really hasn't been that terrible. You know, as a matter of fact, Cincinnati, you know, February in Cincinnati here was a record setter. One of the, one of the top 10 warmest beginning of the year we've ever had in the history of Cincinnati. So yeah, it's been unusually warm. So I've been able to get a hold of, you know, some wintertime chores here, as well as being able to finally catch up on social media, as well as what was, you know, the intention of the cemetery podcast here. Now, the other thing I wanted to point out, that at the beginning of November, I had my knee scoped, and I had two meniscus tears in my knees, you know, and that's really been going on for a couple of years, to be honest with y'all. I haven't really, I muddled my way through it, you know, sometimes just eating aspirin like they're, you know, going out of style, because I was usually good for a day, but on day number two, I could barely walk. So that's finally done, and really, that's recovered quite well. So I expect that will benefit me working at the cemetery as well as the things we're doing with the Necrotourist. Now, I did want to say that one of the situations that had been going on over the last year, and many of you are aware of this in the previous, you know, podcasts that were going on at the end of 2021, we had been having a lot of problems with our web server for several years. See, for those of you that, yeah, let me take you back. We originally used to get our website done through Yahoo, and we had been with them for like 20 years. But Yahoo got bought out by a company, and then that company then got bought out by Verizon. So essentially, the same way I had been building my website for 20 years by hand and by scratch, they decided that in order to maintain it on their same system, I was going to have to pay nearly $5,000 to convert all the work that I had done for years to be upgradable and usable in their system. So I had been in a long debate with them through the course of the entire year. So for those of you that have been around for a long time, we were associated with our old website, The Funeral Source. We are no longer operating that page, and the Necrotourist is on its own. So the website has changed. It is different. We have a new server we're dealing with. I suggest you not deal with Verizon. That's just my suggestion. So the website is now fixed, necrotourist.com. All our social media is still back in play, just like it's always been. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, whatever it is, YouTube. Yeah, that's what it is, YouTube. So that's the situation with the website. Wanted to make that clear. Another thing I wanted to mention is right before we stopped broadcasting last time, I didn't have the announcement date, but we were going to be featured in the national magazine, the trade magazine, American Cemetery and Cremation. Now, that did happen in February of 2022. I was in the feature article written by Sam Goldstein, who wrote a story, you know, featuring me about what goes on with the Necrotourist traveling around the country and the things that are involved with that. That was pretty cool. You can check that out. That's on the website in our media section. Around Memorial Day, we were featured in Cincinnati Magazine here because we have photography of a tradition that goes on around here where the travelers are allowed to go into Spring Grove Cemetery in the overnight and decorate the graves of their ancestors in the overnight so that come Memorial Day, they're ready and decorated first thing in the morning. So not a lot of people have photos of it because they're not the Necrotourist, and we are. So we're featured in the magazine. We were not featured in the magazine. We were some of the photos that were featured. I guess that's the more appropriate way to say this. That being said, I want to let you know that because of the way things have morphed a little bit and because I'm paying more attention to cemetery operations as well as necrotourism, the focus of the show is going to involve both of those things, which is fine. We had already been talking about that coincidentally in January of 22. So now it's going to be more so that we are going to be focusing on that. Because just because I've been doing the job, don't think that I didn't travel at all. I did travel some, and I just made sure every trip that we took counted. Also, my son happens to live near Flint, Michigan, and whenever I was traveling up, I've traveled up several times this year to visit with him and my newest grandchild. You know, I make sure, of course, I, you know, stop at cemeteries up and along the way. So we did several trips, especially in Detroit this year, so I'll have some information about that later on. Okay, so what we had decided is that in the short term, unless we can do it more often, we're not going to overcommit at this point. So this is what we are committing to. We are going to be doing the cemetery podcast at least once a month. We are going to be doing it on the first Tuesday of every month. Then there is a very strong possibility that we're going to run special episodes in and out. We already have a few people that are interested in being on the show right now to even do special editions focusing on circumstances or situations and things that are going on in and around the tri-state as well as the country with cemeteries and cemetery legislation and things of that nature, and some of the things that our nonprofit has been involved in. So just look forward to that. We're going to be doing the first Tuesday of each month, and that will be when the show debuts. Special notices will be as follows. You know, we'll find out. You know, of course, it's best to check out our social media and that, you know, to drive the source of that. Also, one other thing, remind you with it, you know, with the new site, we didn't really keep up on it as much on our old site because it was a little more difficult, but we are going to be doing a blog on our new page. So we'd like to encourage you to be checking out our blog. Several things have been going on there, you know, like last month we did a weekly feature on a Black History Month, you know, things like that, because we've been to some pretty awesome historic black graves. So, you know, I believe we had some really good people in there, some historical groundbreaking people. Anyway, that being said, we do things like that. We're going to try to do, you know, a story or a feature every week. So that's something I would like you to check out. And that being said, when we come back, we are actually going to go into one of those segments that is featured on the blog, and there'll be more about that to come right here on the Cemetery Podcast. You know, some of our friends have been working hard to bring awareness to our favorite subject. That is cemeteries. And that is the gals in the graveyard. You know, they're a pair of lady conservationists who enjoy a little bit of gallows humor. Be sure to join their journey, like and subscribe by going to galsinthegraveyard.com. Gals in the Graveyard, bringing life to death. All right, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to talk a little bit about social media as well as one of the topics on our blog recently, and continuously, actually, that being said. You know, one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, people a lot of times are looking for different places to post the type of photos and, you know, very genre-specific of the cemetery visitations and photos that they take. And I would like to encourage you, that being said, to go to the NecroTourist, go to our Facebook page, go to our group section, and look at our groups. I mean, we have everything. We have a group for all 50 states. We have groups for obelisks. We have groups for sandstone. We have groups for laser etching. We have groups for just about any topic you can think of. That's just something to keep you encouraged, you know, along while you're looking for places to post. Because some things are very specific. Like, you know, we have a group for gates, and we have one for glass, you know, for like the windows and mausoleums, graveyard glass. So there's just tons and tons. I believe we have over 200 groups. I know that may seem hard to believe, but it's really true. Speaking of social media, I want to remind you that, you know, if you're out there, you know, get involved in some of the things that we post on a weekly basis. You know, we're involved in, you know, things with a lot of other necro travelers who are posting their photos in and around social media. You know, there's the weekly posts like Mazo Monday, where you post a mausoleum. Then there's Tuesdays. What is Tuesday? That's a Thick Trunk Tuesday, where you post your photos that show the cemetery, but, you know, it shows a really huge tree. There is, let's see, what else is there? Wildlife Wednesday. Wild Wednesday, where you post an animal or a statue of an animal that you've seen. There's also Thursdays. There's a couple on, several on that. There's Oh, actually, I skipped over some. On Mazo Monday, besides that Monday, there's Medal of Honor Monday and Mother's Monday, where you feature, like, the mother of somebody. You know, specifically, of course, 80% of the people in a cemetery are mother. But, you know, it's more focusing on those grave markers that have the word mother on them somewhere. Then, back to Thursday, you know, of course, there's Throwback Thursday. A lot of people post really old cemeteries then. Then there's a new one that's been floating around, Adorable Thursdays, where you post the doors of mausoleums. You know, not necessarily. It didn't start as a cemetery thing, but cemetery people have taken it over because we post mausoleum doors. And there is also Thankful Thursday, where you post a veteran or like a police officer or a first responder, somebody of that nature. Then Friday, there's several. There's Famous Fridays. Then there's Friday Flowers. And then there's Friday Fathers, you know, to match the mothers on Monday. Mother Fathers, you know, Monday through Friday. So, you know, there's a couple of things you can get involved in. You know, make sure you're hashtagging and getting involved. That being said, I'm going to go to what I was talking to about before, about the blog that we have started. And one of the first things that we started was a continuously building blog called, or a post that is, called 52 Ways to Improve a Cemetery. Now, when I made the post originally, and I posted the instructions and explained it all at the top of the blog, which if you go look at that particular article, it will be there. I said very distinctly a couple of things. Number one, that we would be adding one every week. So currently, right now, with the one that will be added today, we have done 10 so far this year, and they will continue to add up. And lo and behold, like a couple weeks ago, we were like 4 weeks in, and somebody said, hey, I went there and there was only 4. Well, that's because you didn't read the instructions. You just went right for the tips. And that's what happens. You know, that's like the old days when they would give you that test and they would go, write your name in the block and then put your pencil down and wait for the teacher to tell you to go on. And there was tons of people that would just write on, start the test. And that's the good old people that don't read instructions. That being said, at the top of the blog, or at the top of the article, it very distinctly said two things. That it will add on each week, so we've added 10 tips so far, and those are the ones I'm going to discuss now. And we're going to discuss the other ones, you know, on each show, because, you know, for each show, there should be 4 or 5 that go down before each show, or maybe less. But that being said, the other thing it also said is that everything we discuss may or may not apply to your cemetery. Some of the suggestions I'm giving are for currently working cemeteries. Some of them are for abandoned cemeteries. Some of them are cemeteries that just need improvement. These are general suggestions that are coming to us from discussions that we've had with other cemetery professionals, other people that are necro travelers, also people that, you know, are involved in cemeteries in other ways. So these are general tips. So if you want to dispute me on them, you can. But there's really not much dispute because it just may not apply to your situation. Okay, here we go. The first tip we said was adding benches or other seating areas for visitors to rest and reflect. I think that's a positive thing. In some areas over the years, we've seen a lot of places where we do see people sitting on the benches. Also, I can tell you right now, you know, the cemetery where I work, we have a huge hill and we have 2 benches going up the hill, and that's necessary for lots of people. Just saying. Okay, item number 2 is establish a volunteer program to involve the community in maintaining or enhancing the cemetery. That's as simple as it is. If you can create a program that will get them involved, like this cemetery, when I came here, they have the city has an annual volunteer event, and we are one of the places that they volunteer, and it's usually around Earth Day, but they last year they came and helped clean up the cemetery, and you know, any help is welcome, especially in an operating cemetery. Okay, number three was to develop a conservation plan to protect and serve the cemetery's historic and cultural resources. Okay, every cemetery has value. You need to figure out what that is. And I mean this in a historical sense, not a dollar sense. I mean, what are the resources that the cemetery offers? It's history. So get involved with the appropriate people. Okay, number four. Establish a fund or donate a portion of profits to support ongoing maintenance or preservation efforts. That's as simple as it is. You know, a lot of cemeteries that are still operating don't have a lot of money coming in, but if you didn't have perpetual care funds, you are going to need money to take care of that. So, you know, how are you able to do that? Are you able to set that aside from your portion, like it says, from your profit? Are you able to create situations where people are able to donate it to you? Okay, number five, create a database or map of the grave locations to help visitors locate specific graves. You know, with everything that's available online, I know immediately everybody's going to go, yeah, find a grave. Well, find a grave ain't that accurate. I can tell you there's mistakes in it, and I can also tell you at the cemetery where I'm at, it's 80% photographed, but many of the graves or markers can't be read, so you're dependent upon that. So it sometimes the records the cemetery has may be able to help that. It, you know, it's a cross thing that you're going to have to create. Okay, number six, increase accessibility for people with disabilities, such as adding a wheelchair ramp or installing Braille on gravestones. That's an interesting thought. You know, the wheelchair, I've seen that especially at lots of big cemeteries, but the Braille on gravestones, that's a discussion for another time. Maybe if you got something to say about it, put it in the comments. That's kind of an interesting one. Actually, you know, anything that we are discussing here, if you have comments about it, you know, feel free to add it. Okay, number seven, offer services such as grief counseling or memorial planning to help families and individuals cope with their loss. You know, especially the larger cemeteries, the more you're involved with the families, the better it is for you as well as it is for your clients. So, you know, I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, really. Number eight, offer educational interpretive materials such as brochures, signs, guided tours, you know, that can help visitors learn about the cemetery and its history. That's pretty self-explanatory. There's a lot of places I go. There's the little trifolds and a map right there when you go in the place. And that stuff is super appreciated. As a traveler who's been to half the country and, you know, again, you know, nearly 1,300 cemeteries, I love places that do that. As a matter of fact, by the end of this season, my cemetery is going to be doing such a thing. Okay, number nine. Develop a community garden or other green space within the cemetery. That one's also self-explanatory. If this applies for you, you know, maybe plant a place where, you know, you can attract butterflies or hummingbirds or anything of that nature. And the last one that we will be featuring is number 10. Develop a website and other online presence to provide information about the cemetery and its events. That's pretty self-explanatory. If you're an operating cemetery and you don't have a website and a social media presence, you are sadly mistaken. That's all I can say. If it is for an abandoned cemetery, if there isn't such a social media presence, maybe it's time to start one. If you're involved in it, if you have volunteers, if you know somebody that's do it, it's something that really should be done. Those are 10 of the 52 ways that you can improve a cemetery, available to you on the NecroTourist blog or right here on the Cemetery Podcast.
Are you aware that the NecroTourist does cemetery tours in the Cincinnati area? Well, all you need to do is visit their website or their Facebook page to find out how you can go on a tour in the tri-state today.
The Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery is a podcast for cemetery lovers, preservationists, and even those who've never walked among the graves.
Join Jenny and Diane each week as they explore old cemeteries and learn the story of those buried within their walls. find them on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, or on their website at www.theordinaryextraordinarycemetery.com.
The Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast, where every death had a life and every life had a story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, normally we do a feature cemetery each week, which is kind of like the crux of what the Necrotourist does, travels around to big cemeteries, not necessarily big ones, but travels around to bigger cemeteries often, chasing down famous graves and other things. So we, coincidentally, the last show we did, we featured Woodlawn Cemetery up in Detroit, Michigan. And as I had mentioned earlier in the show, we have done several trips to Detroit over the year, traveling to visit my son. So we actually went to Elmwood Cemetery, which is one that we had missed after several trips the first couple times we've been in Michigan. And we also went back to Woodlawn. Now, Elmwood is one you must go to. It's like the older cemetery, and it has some of the older people, like Pabst is there from Pabst Blue Ribbon. And actually, some of the people that are there are escaping me at the moment. But it is the one that you definitely need to check out. It's the older of the two. Now, Woodlawn, we have talked about before. You definitely need to go there. Woodlawn, since we were there the last time, Aretha Franklin has passed away, and she is now buried there. And when we were there last, we came across Barry Gordy and his family. We also finally was able to track down Levi Stubbs and David Ruppin, who are the lead singers for the Four Tops and the Temptations. And Arthur Ross, who was Diana Ross's brother, a few people like that. We were also chasing a few governors while we were there, and a few other famous people. Same situation with Elmwood. You know, of course, the older a cemetery is, the more likely is there's going to be a governor there. You know, for those that don't know, we are stationed in the middle of Cincinnati, Ohio, which is on the far southwest corner of Ohio, and we're up against Kentucky and Indiana. So, you know, in order to get to Detroit, which is right at the edge of Michigan and Ohio, you know, it's just straight up 75 pretty much. But, you know, of course, there ain't no cemeteries on a highway. So whenever we go up, we veer off. One of the trips we went, we stopped in Toledo. We've been to Toledo before, but we visited several of the cemeteries we had never been to before. So it's another trip like that. Or, you know, another one that we visited along the way was in Findlay, the cemetery that was there. If you travel up and down 75 at all, anybody in Ohio, you know what I mean. You can see the Findlay Cemetery. It's right there off the edge of the highway. You can see it from there. Rarely do you ever see a highway or a cemetery from the highway, but it's one of the few exceptions. So we made sure we went there. We also ate dinner in that town. One of the good things about visiting cemeteries in smaller towns, we always make sure we go out of our way to eat at a local place, not, you know, the big franchises. So anyway, a couple of things I'm going to suggest. If you're in Toledo, Calvary, you should also go to Woodlawn. That is an amazing cemetery there. Speaking of Woodlawn, back to that again. If you're in Detroit, go to Woodlawn. Make sure you go to Elmwood. Also go to Woodmere. Those are ones that you definitely need to do. I mention those because those are some of the things that we have been doing. Another couple other things that have been going on in recent months, and I would, you know, unbeknownst to you guys, since I've been out of touch with everybody really, is that I'm currently working on an article for a magazine. We have the opportunity to do some feature work in a magazine. I'll get more into detail about that when it happens. And also, we are currently writing a proposal to write not only one, but possibly two books. And if they do well, maybe more. So I'd be really curious what you, the listeners of the Cemetery Podcast, as well as the followers of the Necrotourist, feel about the idea of us or working on a or multiple books. Anyway, that being said, you know, these are going to be more picture plus informational books, you know, featuring some of the photography and famous graves we visited and such. More about that at a later time. Last thing I wanted to talk about in this segment was something that happened while I was doing cemetery research, now this may seem kind of crazy to you guys, but I'm going to tell you, if you have the opportunity to try this, you have to try it, especially those that work in a cemetery. I was watching some YouTube videos about cemetery operations, and let me tell you, there's not many of them out there. There's some, but there's not many. So anything that I see, I watch. You know, some people I see, they have no idea what they're talking about, but I feel that there's something to learn from everybody, no matter what somebody is saying. I may not do what they're doing, but I may learn one small slice of their pie that's helpful to me. So I'm watching this guy who operates a cemetery, an old country guy from, I think, Georgia, and he's talking about divining. And I was thinking, oh, really, as I read the headline. But, you know, I'm looking at YouTube and I see the headline, divining. I thought it was crazy. And I thought to myself, yeah, it probably is crazy. But I had to watch the video. And I'm watching this good old boy tell the story about how when you're holding the rods in your hands, you know, parallel to the ground, that when you cross over a grave, the rods will cross, and when you step off the graves, the rods will uncross. And he was like, I don't know how it works, I don't know why it works, but it just works. And I have to tell you, I said to myself, that's the craziest thing. That cannot possibly be true. So, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, I decided to test the theory. Now, I'm going to tell you, later on, I'm going to do this on video because when it happened, I couldn't believe it. I'm telling you, I went and took two wire coat hangers. Because originally, I heard about divining. You know, I was aware of people have done it for water and other things. And I hold you need copper rods and all this stuff. So I kept thinking, oh, copper rods, that's going to be all expensive. I can't get involved in that. And it seems like too much. And I went out and got two coat hangers. You know, the old kind that have the metal and that have the cardboard tube that go across the bottom. Okay, so you take those and you stretch each of those out. You cut the tubes in half, and you use, like, the tube. Okay, you just bend the coat hanger in, like, a giant L, and you put just enough in there to let it swing freely in the handle. I'll do this later if it doesn't make sense to you. So I do this, and I'm thinking, okay, great, it's just two coat hangers. This can't possibly do anything. You know, I'm holding it level in my hands, and I have it perpendicular to the ground, allowing it to freely swing, but yet, you know, not putting so much pressure that gravity is forcing it down, but just enough that it's remaining level, just above the pull of gravity. I know, literally, because I live in a cemetery, right across the street from me is a row of newer graves, graves that have been buried, you know, people that have been in there in the last 50 years. And there is a row where there are 8 graves, 7 of them are occupied, 6 or 1 of them is not. So I started at the one end, and as I walk across the first grave, the wires cross. And I'm telling y'all, I went, this is just a fluke. As I stepped off, it uncrossed. When I walked to the next grave, it crossed again. When I walked off, it uncross. I got to the third grave. It did it again. I got to the fourth grave that is empty. It didn't cross as I walked across. When I got to the fifth grave, it crossed again and uncrossed as I left. I was flabbergasted, ladies and gentlemen. I was ready to jump up and down and scream because I couldn't believe what was happening. But it happened. I don't know why. I don't know how. I just know that it worked. I have not run the test since. I have told this to a couple of people. Two of them doubt me. And we are going to try it again. I will tell you. But I'm telling you, as somebody that walked out my door thinking there is absolutely no way in hell these wires are going to cross when I walk over a grave. And when it did it, 5 out of 4 times, I was blown away. So, I promise you all, by the time the next show airs, I will have video up on our YouTube channel, as well as on our Facebook watch, and hopefully on our website. That will be video of me divining as I'm walking over graves. And if you see it, I am not playing games, because I am not that kind of guy. It makes me angry when people fake stuff. So, I'm telling you, I hope it happens again when I'm videoing and I'm not wasting my time telling you this story. Stay tuned to the Cemetery Podcast and to the NecroTourist to find out about further developments on the divining of graves in the cemetery. I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am now going to take you into the final segment of the show, which is normally the travel log, which refers to the tales of the travels of the NecroTourist. Now, usually these stories are about places we've been to and things we've seen while we were on the trips. But today I'm going to tell you sort of a twisted version of that, which is going to turn into the strangest coincidence that you may ever hear in a cemetery story. Okay, for those of you that have listened to us or followed us for a long time, you are well aware of the fact that in the fall of 2021, we hit our 1,200th cemetery. For those of you that are new to us, let me let you in on this. Okay. In the fall of 2021, we knew we were approaching our 1,200th cemetery. And we were looking to plan it to be somewhere big and special. And we weren't really sure where we were going to go, because we'd been to a lot of the major cities in the Midwest, and especially the ones in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And we weren't really sure what we were going to do for that visit. Well, right around that time, we had learned that my 3 times great-grandfather had a small cemetery in Indiana, in an area that's not too far away from where I am, but it's about 50 miles away, at least as the crow flies. Now, that being said, so we tried to plan it so that that actual 1,200 cemetery would come up as the family cemetery. So this was pretty cool. We ended up finding out it was in an area called Manchester. Now, I had never really heard of Manchester before. I'm kind of surprised, because it's not too far away from where my family's from. A lot of them are from Dillsboro and Milan and some of the areas around Indiana. And to explain, for those who are not familiar, Cincinnati, which is where we're from, is in the far southwest corner of the state, right across the river, or right across the state border in Indiana, is where Lawrenceburg is. This is along the Ohio River. Then, just north of that is Greendale, which is a community that was kind of born because Seagram's, the old spirits plant, used to be there. And, you know, Greendale kind of grew up as the community around that. And then Manchester is just to the west of that. So I had never actually really been to Greendale, but like once or twice when I was a kid. And I had never been to Manchester, so I wasn't even aware of it. So when we found out about this place, we decided to go there. And, you know, like I said, we head to Manchester. And when we arrive at the cemetery, it's a small little thing, probably only about 25 graves, just the 2 families that are there. It's the Sims Mackey Cemetery. And when we arrived there, it was a little thing that was in the edge of the woods, if you didn't know it was there, you certainly wouldn't know it was there. It was, you know, kind of in the underbrush of some pine trees. And when we got there, we cleaned it out and, you know, well, cleaned it out the best we could. We didn't really go there with many tools. We were really trying to find it more than we were trying to rehab it. But, you know, I have a few tools that we always carry, and we cleaned it up a little bit. And as we were getting ready to leave, I was walking along the edge of the roadway where it enters, because this is kind of on the corner of a entryway into a trailer park. And then there's a house on the edge of the corner. And as I was leaving the boundary line of where the house is, I saw that the lady that lived there was pulling into the driveway. So I didn't want her to think I was doing anything crazy or nefarious. So I stopped her and I said, pardon me, ma'am. I said, I just wanted to let you know that I recently discovered my family cemetery here. And I, you know, we plan to come back this year and next year to begin to do rehab work on this. So I just wanted to make you aware, if you see us, you know, we're not doing anything crazy, but we're attending to the cemetery. And she was like, wow, I've been living here like 5 years. I had no idea there was a cemetery there at all. She said, I've never even been in those woods. And I said, well, that's kind of good, because if you haven't noticed it, you live right next to it. Maybe none of the kids that live in the trailer park will mess with it. So I left that day feeling good about that circumstance. Like I said, for those of you that listen to the show or follow the Necrotourist online, you're well aware of that story. For those of you who are not, it's a cool little story how I conjuncted a mark in our career and with something personal. Now, let me take you into the future. It is now 2023, and I am now working at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery. And I am here doing a burial a couple of months ago, and the guy that works for the local vault company shows up. Now, you know, it's Baxter Vault. Many of you in the Midwest are familiar with Baxter Vaults, you know. You know, that, for those that are not familiar, you know, the casket goes inside the vault, and the vault goes inside the hole that is in dug into the ground. So I'm talking to the guy that works for the company, and I'm telling him, I said, yeah, you know, about what I do. I mean, you know, he has a vague idea, and I'm explaining a little more about the Necrotourist and how things go, and telling him about the 1200 cemetery happened to be in Indiana. And he said, oh, that's interesting. He said, yeah, I'm from Indiana. And I said, well, this is in a little town outside of Greendale called Manchester. And he's like, really? He said, I live in Manchester. I thought, wow, that's an interesting coincidence. And he said, do you know where the cemetery is? And I said, no, I said, I don't know exactly the name of the road. I said, I know we went into Greendale and we hit the road and we started heading west and we got there. It was right there. There was like a house and a trailer park. And he goes, oh, no, I know what you're talking about. He said, it's North Hogan Road, because he said there's only one trailer park in the area and that one's really big and it's the only one you would find. I was like, oh, yeah, that has to be it then, because I said I pulled in there at first looking and I didn't see it. And I came back out, and that's where I kind of noticed a stone sticking through the woods. Yeah, he said, right there. It's right there on the corner of the trailer park. And I said, right, right. And I said, when I got there, I said, there's a house on the corner. And he goes, right. And I said, there was a lady that lived there. And I said, when I was working on the cemetery, I came out and I told her that was my family cemetery. And I said she had been living there for 5 years and never seen anybody at the cemetery and didn't even know it was there. And he said, yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. I said, you do? He said, yeah, because that's my wife. I thought, that is crazy. He said, yes, sir. He said, I remember almost a year and a half ago, my wife coming to me and telling me that there was people that were working in the cemetery behind the house. And he said, I had seen it there, but he said, I kind of thought that, you know, I'd leave it alone because nobody was messing with it. But he said, that is absolutely crazy that lady you talked to is my wife. And I said, I can't believe that the lady I talked to is your wife. and you are here doing a burial with me. Now, that is a crazy coincidence. Since then, I see him all the time. He often does the vault work for the burials I do here at the cemetery. But I still think that is a crazy coincidence that my local vault guy happens to live next door to my family's cemetery, which is my 1200 cemetery I visited. So anyway, that's a interesting coincidental story from the Necrotourist and those of you who enjoy and follow us.
Be sure to check out the Necrotourist at all of your favorite social media outlets. Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter. You think of it, we're there.
All right, I would like to thank everybody for joining us for this episode of the Necrotourist. Thanks to everybody who contributed to this episode, everybody that stories are about, who were involved, and anything else. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for the patience. Everybody who's been emailing me for the last year saying, where the hell is the next show? Well, it's here, and I want to thank you for being with us and enjoying it. So, this is Ken Negley for the Necrotourist. Until the next time you hear my voice, I will see you in the yard.